Jesus says in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." This is one of the reasons he came. In Luke 4:18, Jesus was quoting Isaiah. He was reading the scroll, Isaiah 61:1. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Jesus had that as his mission. He said, "I was sent here to heal your broken hearts." You know why he knew you needed that? Because everybody who's born in sin has a broken heart somewhere. Because we are not made to live in a fallen state. We are made to live like Adam. We're not made to have people in our life die. Our heart's not wired for that. We're not wired for loss. We are wired for love. And when love isn't happening, we get broken. When killing, stealing, and plundering's going on, we get hurt. That hurts us. Grief hurts us. Loss hurts us. He knew he was going to have to heal the brokenhearted when he came. He knew we all needed it. And there's another one. Psalm 147:3. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." And if you look at Isaiah 53, I don't have that one down here. He talks about taking our griefs and our sorrows. By Jesus' stripes we are healed. He also took your grief and your sorrows. You always need to read Isaiah 53 at least once a week. How important is our heart? Now we know Jesus has come to heal it, but how important is that to your life, that your heart be healed? Proverbs 14:30 says, "A healed heart," this is the Young's literal translation, "a healed heart is life to the flesh, and envy is rottenness to the bones." And that envy word is passion. It's want. I don't have enough. I want more. I need more. That whiny, complainy, "I don't have it," is rottenness to the bones. But a healed, a sound, a peaceful, a tranquil heart is life to the flesh. I know we're spirits, but I like my flesh feeling good too. I don't want pain. I don't need any pain. And this word, healed heart, in Proverbs 14:30 is the word marpa, which comes from the word Rapha. Have you heard that word before? Jehovah Rapha, my healer. You change one letter in the Hebrew alphabet in that word, and you get Marpa. A healed, a sound, a whole heart is life to your whole flesh. Proverbs 4:23. "Keep your heart," we're still on how important is your heart, "keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Out of your heart comes what's in the heart. John mentioned last night, what was in Jesus' heart when the storm came up? Peace was in his heart. Peace came out of his heart. "Peace, be still, storm." Because that's what was in his heart. That's what came out. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep is to guard, preserve, protect. Protect it. Now, another reason the heart is very important, listen to this scripture. 2 Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." So it's good to have a sound heart. What happens is when your heart is broken, you want to be loyal, but you find yourself not being loyal because it's broken. It's divided. It's got cracks in it. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. There's those bones again. Kind of makes you think about arthritis, doesn't it? How, what does that drying up the bones? The merry heart does good like a medicine. Luke 8:15, when it talks about sower, sows the word. Who gets the hundredfold return? It's a good heart that understands the word and keeps it with patience. If your heart's broken, you're going to have a hard time standing and keeping it in patience. And you, that word broken is broken. If you have a vase, it's hard to put water in it and keep the flowers in it when it's broken. What happens? Stuff, if it's a little crack, leaks out. If it's a big crack, you can't even use it. So what is the heart of man? The Hebrew word is lev. So the heart is the inner man, the inner me. My heart is everything of me that doesn't, that you're not seeing. The inner man, the will, the heart, the understanding. Jesus says, why do you reason in your hearts? It's your soul, it's your spirit, it's your mind, it's your thinking, your knowledge, your reflection, your memory, your inclination, your resolution, your determination, your conscience, your character. It's where the seat of your appetite lives. It's where the seat of your emotions and your passions and your courage. If you have courage in your heart and it leaks out. I mean, these are, we've heard these expressions all throughout our lives, and they're true. With a whole heart, you can have a whole heart. You can have a divided heart. You can have a broken heart. You can have a heart that has blockage. And I got this little picture off the internet about the heart. And it shows like there's different rooms. And there's also openings where the blood goes through and the little doors close and then they open and then they close. That's the way our heart is. We have gates. The whole book of Nehemiah is the rebuilding of the human heart. The whole Song of Solomon is the healing of the brokenhearted. It's very, very important to have your heart whole. And Jesus said, that's the reason I came, to heal your broken heart. It's not the only reason, but it's a big one. I was sent to heal the brokenhearted. Sometimes we know what's in our heart, and sometimes we don't know what's in our heart. We're not aware. Because it has those little rooms in there. Did you ever hear somebody, oh, I didn't know anything was wrong, and I went to the doctor and they took an x-ray of my heart and showed I had a little heart attack. I didn't even know it. Showed a little black dead spot. You ever heard that? I've heard that. They didn't even know it was there. But it was damaged nonetheless. An easy way to know what's in your heart is listen. Because what's in the heart eventually is coming out. Now, sometimes you have to get shook because we tuck some things down in there really tight. We don't want anybody to know, especially we don't want to know they're in there. This is a really neat scripture about the heart. It says, as in water, face answers face, so the heart of man. Which means, if I look in the mirror, they had water. If I look in the mirror, I see me. If I look in my heart, I see me. So my heart is me. And the shaking, if you get shook enough, everything that's in there is going to come out. We used to say, I'm shaking this glass with Coke in it. Why is the Coke coming out? And people would say,
it's because you're shaking the glass.
And I said, no.
It's because there's Coke in it.
Yes. I'm shaking this empty glass and nothing's coming out. One time I said to the Lord, I only had five children then. I'm six now. And I said, if I didn't have these five children, Lord, I would never raise my voice. I would never be impatient. I would never be upset. I thought he was going to reprimand me, actually, and say, oh, no. But he didn't. He said, you're right. I was shocked. I knew it was him because he said, you're right. And he said, but it would still be in you. The children were shaking it out of me. And I knew if I wasn't being shaken all the time, people wouldn't see this stuff. You know? One time, John was working with a young woman in the real estate office, and she wanted prayer. And the boss's name was Jim. So he was ministering to her, and she was telling her story, and she was telling all her problems, and he was ministering to her, and he just said, well, what's with you and Jim, the boss? She goes, oh, nothing, he's okay. So a little bit goes on, and he says to her, what do you think about Jim? Oh, he's all right. And then they go on. I'm watching this, because a lot of times when he's counseling someone, I didn't know her, so I wasn't counseling her. I just kind of sit in the background and pray in the spirit. And then this goes on three more times. And all of a sudden she goes, I hate him! I was like, whoa! And you see that sometimes on TV in the interrogation room. They're trying to push him. They're trying to pop that confession out by pushing them, pushing their buttons. Well, he pushed her button. And then she was able to forgive him because then she was able to really see what had been going on. Because what that hatred is like, or unforgiveness, or resentment, it's like a beach ball. And you try to put it under the water, how long can you keep it there? Oh, there's that ugly thing again. So you put it back under there. And it comes back up. Psychiatrists, they call this a subconscious mind. And they're always looking for things in your subconscious because they know from their observation that you do funny stuff sometimes because there's things in you you don't know about. So they're trying to find them and probe, and sometimes they'll pop out. Even the psychologists have come up with, these are ungodly. If you forgive your father, whether he's dead or alive, you'll do better. They figured that out. Well, it's true. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of his evil treasure of his heart brings forth what is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's Luke 6:45. The heart follows also. The heart is made to follow after. So whatever it values, it follows after. So if you value Jesus, you follow after Jesus. If you value good relationship, that's what you are following after. The Franklin Covey method of day planning, that's how they try to get you to plan your day, by what you value, putting that first. And it's kind of a biblical way, but if what you're valuing is not the Lord, then you're just chasing after all these other things. When the sower sows the word, when people are not receiving the abundance from the word, we put the word in, it's supposed to grow, right? To grow and grow and grow into a big tree, and the birds come and nest, and everyone is blessed by this wonderful tree of the word that's in it. But then sometimes there's weeds, and there's tares that choke the word, and it's unfruitful. It's still there. You still know your scriptures, but nothing's coming off of them. There's no fruit. Why? Because the heart's following after deceitfulness of riches, desire for other things, and anxiety. That's an ugly one, isn't it? And that's just choking the word. So it's the good heart that takes care of those things that flourishes. I'll give you an example of something that happened to me. There's a lot of talk about confessing the word, meditating the word, and how do we do that and what does it do? And John was mentioning last night, it's about the motive that makes the difference in one person doing it and another person doing it. When I confess the scriptures, sometimes what I'm really doing is meditating to fill my heart. We were in a different situation than we had been in a long time. And when I'd wake up, the first thought that I would have is, what if this bad thing happens? Like, you know, what if the rent's not paid? Or what if, you know, how are you going to do this? Because it was a situation we hadn't been in a really long time. And I just thought, you know, why am I thinking that? I didn't used to think that. And I realized in my heart there was some emptiness there. And I didn't know. I didn't have the substance of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That substance is real. It's a real, I mean, if you could reach in the spirit, you could put that substance right on your hand and hold on to it. Because it's real. It's a substance. And what I was noticing, there wasn't any substance here. And the enemy was putting in his fiery dart, hoping to fill that spot that was vacant. So what I started to do, as I said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. And I just say that over and over and over. I mutter it under my breath. I think it when I'm laying down to go to sleep. I'm saying it. I'm not screaming it. I'm just muttering it, meditating it, meditating it, meditating it, and saying it over and over and over. I'm not trying to get God to do something that he's already done. I am filling my heart after about, you know, and I don't like to say how long because everybody's different because it depends on where you're starting. You know, how deep the well you have to dig is. But, you know, it was only a few days and my heart was full again. And I woke up and I didn't hear that. And then I could start to speak it with substance behind it. I was speaking it now full. Like Jesus was full of peace when he said, peace be still. He was full. So he could do it. He didn't have to think about it. He just reacted to it. Well, see, I wasn't reacting automatically to our situation. So what I did is I said, I need some help here. So I start filling it, filling it, filling it. Now, when you're broken, that works for a little while, and then it just seems to kind of fall apart. And we're going to talk about what causes a Christian to stay broken. Christians shouldn't stay broken, right? You get saved, you get healed, you're hearing the word. You should not stay broken. But sometimes they do. Why? It's a very important reason. Well, I was going to go over this a little bit before we get into that. What causes heart to be broken? We did mention before, just living in the world of sin, you're going to have a broken heart. That's just the way it is. Sin is not kind to us. Broken relationships, disappointments, betrayals, misunderstandings. That's, I find, a big one in the church. Two people are upset with each other. I find out it's just really, it was a misunderstanding. Discouraging words, rejection, unforgiveness, being blamed for something, accused, contempt, shame, failure, a violation of trust, loss, and grief. These are all things that we're not meant to deal with. We need Jesus to deal with them. Now, symptoms of a broken heart. Jesus wanted to make it very clear when he came that it was Satan. They didn't have that revelation before. Job didn't really have a revelation of who was hurting him. So when Jesus came, he says, I want to make this very, very, very clear to you. The thief comes to kill, destroy, steal, but I came that you might have life and life abundantly. Now, symptoms of a broken heart, meditating on past hurts, you relive it, you tell it, you relive it, and you tell it again. Talking about it, self-pity, nobody cares. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. Constant sighing, sadness, depression, heaviness, sickness, fatigue, loss of joy, guilt, condemnation, inability to move on. They forgive and it comes back. You know, I knew I forgive them. I went to the meeting. I got prayed for. I felt the release. I forgave them. Why is this back? Broken heart never got healed. Grief, they're easily offended. And this was mine. Didn't laugh. I smiled, but I didn't laugh. Brokenness can allow the enemy to torment you. He never has a legal right to torment Christians. Just because you leave the door open does not give anyone a legal right to steal your stuff. Just because you left the car unlocked does not mean the thief had a legal right to take your stereo. He doesn't. You still call the cops and you report it, right? Another symptom is the bowed down. You ever see it? Elderly people, they can't bend up anymore. Why? Enemy has come and squished them down. There is an oppression on them. When Jesus saw this in a woman, he said, Luke 13:16, so not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound. Think of it, 18 years, he said. This is Jesus going, think of it, 18 years she's been bound. Should not she be loosed from her infirmity now? And I'd always feel like there's something not quite right, but I can't figure out what it is. So what I would do is I'd just say, Lord, and I'd do it just like this. I'd say, I open my heart to you by faith because I can't open it. I know that there's part of my heart that's not open to you. So by faith, I'm opening it to you, Lord. And I would do that. I don't know, every month or so, just as I was going along and just open my heart to you, Lord. I open my heart to you. And one day, I was just sitting in the chair. The children were in bed. John was out. I was there in the living room by myself. And it was like the Spirit of the Lord just came on me so strong. And he said, I'm going to show you your heart. And he said, your heart is open and wounded and bleeding. And when he did that, my physical heart hurt so. I mean, I don't know what a heart attack feels like, but it hurt. My heart hurt when he was showing me that. And he said, because you've never believed that you've been loved for you. And as soon as he said that, I knew what he meant. Now, if you had told me 3 weeks before this, you don't believe your dad loves you, I would say, you're crazy. And you said, you don't believe your husband loves you, I would have said, you're crazy. You don't believe your children love you, I would have said, no, that's crazy. That's crazy talk. I don't take that for a second. But when the Lord put his finger on it, he said, let me show you what's in here. There was a lie stuck in my heart. That's why it couldn't heal up. Those Christians that should get healed but don't, there's a lie somewhere keeping them from it. And the lie was that people only love you for what you give them. My husband loves me because I meet a need in his life. Your father loves you because he has to. You're the daughter. How could he not? Your children love you because you meet every need in their life. How could they not love you? But could somebody love you just because you're a really neat person and they'd be blessed to know you? I didn't think so. I didn't have that in me. Now, there's another lie that comes up. This is a big one, too. I didn't have this one, but this is a big one. So, you know, it may not be the same lie that people have in their heart. It might be a different one. Turn to Isaiah 54. Now, if I asked you, when you see the rainbow, do you believe that God will never flood the earth again? Do you believe that covenant of the rainbow? Listen to this covenant. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. This is Isaiah 54:9. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I should not be angry with you nor rebuke you. Are there some people, some Christian people, that think God's mad at them? That's a lie. When parents tell their little children, hey, if you don't do what I want you to do, God's going to be mad at you. They don't say what I want to do, but that's what they're doing, is trying to use God as a lever to make them do. And that's just a terrible thing, but people do it. And I've seen unsaved people that don't want to get saved because God's angry with them. Jesus took all the wrath, all of it. The whole world is saved. They don't all receive it, but the whole world is saved. This counts for the whole world. I shall never be angry with you again. Never. God's not angry. But there are people who have that lie stuck in there that needs to be brought out. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way in me. Look at me, Lord. Look at my heart. Is there anything hurtful in there to me? Search it out. Take it. Show it. Reveal it. Let's get it out. When a person relies on their self-effort and the carnal mind holds on to the lie, self-effort is a very bad thing. It does a lot more than people think. Just like John was saying last night, well, you do all you can do, and when you're done, then the grace of God can come in and take you home. There's nothing about that in the scripture. When Paul writes, have you begun in faith? Are you going to finish in the flesh? No. You're going to start with faith. You're going to end in faith. There are so many religions out there, I'm going to call them that, that make people feel like I get born again, that takes care of everything back there, and now I got to keep my nose clean. Now I've got to toe the line. You couldn't do it before. You can't do it now. It doesn't matter. Without Jesus, you can't do it. You have to receive grace to exhibit godly behavior because that's where it comes from. So after I went through this, my story, and my heart was healed, God's timing is just so impeccable. As I'm standing there, seeing my heart and feeling all the pain that was there, John walked in the door so I could tell him what happened so he could hold me while I got healed. So I wasn't alone at that point. And it was so powerful. And I remembered long time ago, God gives you things to know. You know, he gives you that information you're going to need in the future. I had remembered a teaching long time ago that first when a person feels rejection and they take that rejection, the next thing comes is that grows resentment. I resent being rejected. And then if you go long enough with that, you're rebellious. So it's like a little stage thing. And as I got healed, because the root of this was rejection. You don't believe anybody loves you for you. Rejection is there at all the time. It's just there. Whether you hide it or not, it's there. And as I got rid of this rejection, all of these resentments started bubbling up. Oh, I resent that too. I resent that too. I resent that too. Because what was happening is they lost their foothold and they were starting to come out. And all these little resentments of everything I didn't even know I resented started coming up and coming up and coming up and coming up. It's just little house cleaning was going on, you know. It's like a trash barrel and you're just putting them all in there. And when I went to sleep that night, I woke up the next morning and this is a really good feeling. Jesus will give you good feelings. Knowing him gives good feelings. We don't go by our feelings, but there are some really good feelings in God. The feeling was, I am just as if it's always been good. It's like my whole life has been just perfect. That's how I feel. Like nothing bad has ever happened to me in my whole life. Wow. And the Lord showed me a couple years after that. He said, remember that feeling that you had? That good, good feeling that morning that your life has always been good? He said, you have to keep that by faith. Because garbage comes in around, right? You know, never was I broken again. But garbage can come in and take that good feeling away. And what I had to realize is this perpetualness. There's a Greek tense which talks about continuing on. Like we are saved and continually being saved and saved and saved and saved and saved. We're always saved. It's happening all the time. He said that's how it has to be. That you, by faith, know that I am just as if I've never sinned or been wronged or been broke or been poor or been hurt or been anything. Now, God remembers your sin no more. By faith, you can remember it no more, too. And as I began to receive that, I am just as if I've never sinned. I'm just as if I've never been broke. I'm just as if I've never been hurt. I started to walk in that. Not just have a moment, wake up feeling, and now it's gone. To walk in that. And then, the next thing I can do is start to treat someone else just as if they've never sinned. Just as if they've never been hurt. Just as if they've never been broken. Because I'm receiving, my heart is full. It's not leaking out anymore. It's not wasting. I can remember one time, I just felt so weak. I couldn't even carry the laundry basket up the stairs. I'm like, Lord, what is wrong with me? And John started to pray for me. And he said, you need to forgive yourself. That was a big thing. And as soon as I forgave myself, it was just like all the strength came back up. These are things we have to guard our heart diligently. Guard our heart. the story about Jesus meeting the man in the tombs that would cut himself, didn't have any clothes on, nobody could pass by. I think one of the Gospels says there were two of them. And the other Gospel says, talks about this man. And he lives among the tombs. And what are tombs? Perpetual memorials. This man was tormented, so tormented that he would cut himself. And he was so violent, nobody could pass by the road. Everybody in town knew about him. Everybody knew you can't go out that way because he's out there. But he would live among the tombs. And I think that's what we do when we remember all that bad stuff. When we remember, by faith, I remember it no more. By faith, I remember it no more. I am just as if it's always been good. Very powerful. And the Lord just reminded me, is to take a time and just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if there's a lie there. If there's any lies. I mean, you may have already picked up on some. Because we want to root those out. Don't want them to be left in there. And we have some oil. And we'll pray for people.